From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Washington, D.C., swollen with well-wishers, a city celebrating despite a daunting array of national crises, was festive witness to history today. A new president was sworn in, our country's 44th and the first who is African-American. With his hand on Lincoln's Bible, Barack Obama took the oath of office, administered by Chief Justice John Roberts.
I, Barack Hussein Obama, do solemnly swear that I will execute the office of President to the United States faithfully.
That I will execute
the office of President of the United States faithfully. And will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
So help you God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
In keeping with recent tradition, the swearing-in was on the west terrace of the Capitol building. The massive crowd stretched for more than 2 miles from the west front lawn down the National Mall to the Washington Monument and beyond. People came from all over, braving the cold and wind, and heard a purposeful new president declare that America is ready to lead once more.
My fellow citizens, I stand here today humbled by the task before us.
In his inaugural address, the newly sworn president acknowledged that the nation faces grave crises, war against a far-reaching network of violence and hatred, and an economy badly weakened, not only as a consequence of the greed and irresponsibility of some, but also, he said, because of our collective failure to make hard choices. He spoke of homes lost, businesses shuttered, costly health care, and schools that fail too often. The ways we use energy, he said, strengthen our adversaries and threaten our planet. The challenges, he said, are real.
They are serious and they are many. They will not be met easily or in a short span of time. But know this, America, they will be met. On this day, we gather because we have chosen hope over fear, unity of purpose over conflict and discord. On this day, we come to proclaim an end to the petty grievances and false promises, the recriminations and worn-out dogmas that for far too long have strangled our politics.
President Obama spoke also of restoring science to its rightful place. He spoke of American greatness as something achieved by the risk-takers, the doers, and the makers of things. He dismissed what he called stale political arguments that have occupied the country in recent years in favor of a pragmatic, results-oriented administration.
The question we ask today is not whether our government is too big or too small, but whether it works, whether it helps families find jobs at a decent wage, care they can afford, a retirement that is dignified. Where the answer is yes, we intend to move forward. Where the answer is no, programs will end. And those of us who manage the public's dollars will be held to account to spend wisely, reform bad habits, and do our business in the light of day, because only then can we restore the vital trust between a people and their government.
Mr. Obama dismissed what he presented as other false choices between regard for the market and the obligation to regulate it, a nation, he said, cannot prosper long when it favors only the prosperous, and alluding to torturous interrogations and illegal detentions, he dismissed the notion of having to sacrifice either our safety or our ideals.
Those ideals still light the world, and we will not give them up for expedience's sake. And so, to all the other peoples and governments who are watching today, from the grandest capitals to the small village where my father was born, know that America is a friend of each nation and every man, woman, and child who seeks a future of peace and dignity, and we are ready to lead once more.
At times, this was also a defiant speech. Mr. Obama spoke of leaving Iraq to its people, but he also spoke of forging a hard-earned peace in Afghanistan.
For those who seek to advance their aims by inducing terror and slaughtering innocents, we say to you now that our spirit is stronger and cannot be broken. You cannot outlast us, and we will defeat you.
President Obama's inaugural address often evoked echoes of President Franklin Roosevelt speaking in 1933 as he inherited the Great Depression when he said that we have nothing to fear but fear itself. But the American leader he invoked was George Washington, not yet president, leading revolutionary troops across the Delaware River in 1776.
In the year of America's birth, in the coldest of months, a small band of patriots huddled by dying campfires on the shores of an icy river. The capital was abandoned. The enemy was advancing. The snow was stained with blood. At a moment when the outcome of our revolution was most in doubt, the father of our nation ordered these words be read to the people. Let it be told to the future world that in the depth of winter, when nothing but hope and virtue could survive, that the city and the country, alarmed at one common danger, came forth to meet it. America, in the face of our common dangers, in this winter of our hardship, let us remember these timeless words. With hope and virtue, let us brave once more the icy currents and endure what storms may come. Let it be said by our children's children that when we were tested, we refused to let this journey end, that we did not turn back, nor did we falter. And with eyes fixed on the horizon and God's grace upon us, we carried forth that great gift of freedom and delivered it safely to future generations. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless the United States of America.
Later in this hour, we will rebroadcast President Obama's inaugural address in its entirety. From the Capitol Terrace, he moved inside for lunch with congressional leaders, former presidents, and others. And from there, a procession down Pennsylvania Avenue to Mr. Obama's new home and office, the White House.